This is Jim Inkster, pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number is 877-217-5757, and you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Later in the hour, we will hear from Manuel Martinez, the celebrated clothier here in Baton Rouge, three times named by the World Congress, the best in the business. And we start our show talking about fashion with someone who is an authority on this and has written a compelling book, Dana Thomas. Her book is Fashionopolis, The Price of Fast Fashion and the Future of Clothes. Dana is somebody who goes back a long way on this issue, if it is an issue, and I think it is. One out of six people on the earth are employed by the fashion industry. It is an $80 billion annual economic engine, and actually it's probably more than that. I know it is, because 80 billion garments a year are produced by the clothing industry. And Dana Thomas, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, this is a huge, huge industry, and when you think about it, it's right there with healthcare and other things that we talk about. But we've all got to have clothes, and most of us want to look our best. But are we doing it the right way? And at times, are we being taken advantage of by the industry? What do you think?
I think all of the above. I think we are trying to do it the right way when we put our mind to it. But yes, we are being taken advantage by the industry on many different levels. The fashion industry today is at $2.4 trillion business. It employs, like you said, one out of six people on the planet. That's more than agriculture and more than defense. Think about that for a moment.
Amazing.
In the last 30 years, the fast fashion industry has really amped up and gotten us to buy more clothes faster. So we burn through 80 billion clothes garments a year. They produce 100 billion, which means that 20 billion are thrown away without ever being worn. And yet, even when we wear them, we only wear them on average seven times before being thrown away.
Wow.
So the country, the world is being awash in clothes, just awash. We don't know what to do with them anymore. We're buying them because they're so cheap. But they're so cheap because we're offshoring to really low-paying countries. Today, the cheapest country to buy clothes or to have clothes made is Ethiopia, where they pay people $24 a month, not an hour, not a day, but a month, and the profits have never been higher. When you buy something for $19.99, chances are the person who made it was paid 19 cents. When we think about it that way, it gives us pause, and we should consider more carefully what we're buying and what we're wearing and why.
We're visiting with Dana Thomas. She began her career writing for the styles section of the Washington Post. Served.
I surely did, with under Ben Bradley, who was, you know, this legend.
And talk about a guy who knew how to dress.
He looked the part.
Yeah.
He did. And he bought his clothes on Savile Row, and he wore them forever. The last time I saw Ben was in Paris, and I commented on his coat. And this was about 10 years ago. And he said he had bought it in Paris in the 1950s. I loved that Ben was still wearing his coat that he'd had made in London in the 1950s.
Well, you say in Fashionopolis that we launder our clothes too much, and of course, when we launder them, we wear them out. How often should we wear something before we send it to the cleaners?
Well, we not only wear them out, we also release microfibers into the water system, which now goes into our water table, and fish have been found to have microfibers in their guts, which of course we eat. And now, last week, I read that it's raining microfibers in Colorado in the Rocky Mountains. So we should wash them less. And microfibers come from polyester, and 60% of our clothes are made of polyester, some sort, whether it's fully polyester or a blend. And when we wash them on high temperatures and we wash them often and for a long time, those microfibers are released and we wear out our clothes. So the greatest thing you can do if you want to help the environment on many different levels, you just wash your clothes less often. You know, don't throw your jeans in the wash after one wearing. Levi's CEO says you should never wash your jeans, which may be a bit much. Sometimes they really could use it. But, you know, wear them a while. And then wash on a short cycle and use cold water. And the energy you're saving by not heating up the water and running a short cycle, and the amount of water you're saving by running a short cycle, will already have a huge impact on the on the environment. The person who I learned this from was a man from Procter & Gamble. I mean, these are the people who want you to wash your clothes. So, you know, if they're saying do it less often, that tells you everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. The book is Fashionopolis from Dana Thomas, an authority on this subject. I mentioned her introduction to this type of journalism with the Washington Post as a writer for the style section. She's also written for the New York Times style section and the New York Times Magazine and many other publications. She lives in Paris but is joining us from New York City. Is New York City still the center of the universe when it comes to fashion?
Well, it surely is in the United States. I'm here for New York Fashion Week and actually went to the Tom Ford show last night, which was really terrific. But I think the center for fashion still is Paris, which is one of the reasons I write about it from there, because that's where everyone comes and where trends are set and where people find inspiration for their designs. The way the system is set up now, unfortunately, those inspirations are stolen by the fast fashion companies very quickly and very easily. Now we put up pictures on Instagram from the fashion shows, and they see right away that who likes what and what item's going to play well in the market. And they knock them out and put them in stores even before the designers like Tom Ford managed to finish their orders and put their clothes in production. So the system has really gotten cockeyed, and it needs a reckoning. And some of this reckoning will be done within the industry, but a lot of it's going to come from consumers who just say, you know what, we've got to change the way we're shopping and the way we're treating our clothes. We need to learn how to cherish and take care of our clothes better and love them again.
You note in your book that blue jeans, maybe no surprise, the most popular garment of all time, but also the most polluting of garments.
Yes, indeed. Blue jeans, at any given moment of the day, half the world is wearing blue jeans, which is kind of funny when you think about it. But then when you start looking around, you kind of go, yeah, it's true. Like I'm standing here on the street corner and half the people I'm crossing the street with are wearing jeans right now.
In New York City. Oh, my goodness.
Everywhere. Or if you're waiting for a plane or if, you know, it's kind of funny how once you know this fact, you take a look around, you go, yep. But to wash jeans today, what we call finishing is when we have our jeans pre-washed and even roughed up a bit. In the old days, you remember, we used to buy our jeans shrink to fit, and we bought them a size or two too big, and then we washed them ourselves, and it took 6 months to be able to break them in well enough that you could sit down in them without, you know, getting rug burn on your knee inside from the denim. And now we want that. For the last 30 years, the industry has offered us pre-washed jeans, but to pre-wash them, it takes about 5 gallons of water per jean, and that water is often sent off straight into rivers without being treated or recycled, highly polluting. Mm-hmm. And then we also have them finished for us so that they're broken in, like the knees are scruffed up and seams are a bit worn out or frayed. And to do that, people sand them and hand rasp them, often not wearing masks. I've been to the sweatshops and seen where this happens, and it's 100 degrees, and there's big fans blowing around the dust and the synthetic indigo that's been sanded out of your jeans. It's a wholly unhealthy environment. And there are innovations that are making this better, such as a company in Valencia called Genealogia that has come up with a system where they distress the jeans with lasers from a clean room, and they wash them with as little as one glass of water, which is recycled over and over again. Happily, Levi's has just contracted Genealogia to finish their jeans, so there's hope.
Well, you note in your book that by 2030, we will buy 63% more fashion annually, according to people who look at the industry. That's the equivalent of 500 billion T-shirts per year. In the United States, and you have traveled the world, live in Paris, do we dress as well as people in other countries?
Well, it's not about dressing well or not dressing well. It's just about the volume that we're buying and throwing away and burning through. And I think, you know, those numbers will stay on, you know, will come true if we don't change our habits. And if we are buying so many clothes and we're not putting them back into circulation or recycling them somehow, we're just going to be completely awash in clothes, and our landfills are already heaving. 99% of the clothes that we buy today are not recycled. Only 1% is recycled. We need to change that and make our system for buying and wearing clothes and everything, I would argue, more circular, that either we resell or we recycle or we buy less, or there are innovations to take this fabric and break it down and take and make it, you know, new again, put it back into the system, a circular system as opposed to a linear system of consuming and throwing away, sourcing, making, consuming, and throwing away. And I would say we need to do this with everything that we consume today. I use fashion as a way to talk about bigger picture. You know, I could have written this book about widgets, but it would have been a way less sexy book. And we all get dressed in the morning, so we can relate. I think it's interesting and important to know how our clothes are made and then what happens to them. And I think if we do, we will appreciate them greater, and we will be willing to invest in good pieces and not keep just buying junk.
The book is Fashionopolis, The Price of Fast Fashion and the Future of Clothes, from Dana Thomas. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Dana.
My pleasure.